You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
So today we're continuing with the series about true stories, and I'm talking about David and Goliath. And in such a special story for me as a child, and I grew up, as most of you know, in South Africa, and this is a story you hear from your small, you can barely understand, you can only see pictures, but you see this giant. And my entire life I was sort of brought up that you'll have giants in your life and you need God to fight this fight in life. And today I want to make it an adult story. What's the giants that we are fighting with? But first, I thought about reading this story at first, and I thought, no, this is such a beautiful childhood story, and I believe for most it's the same. So I'm going to show you a video about the story and take a minute and think back of your own childhood, because this is where we'll start today, is your own childhood, your losses, your wins, and sit back and enjoy the story. It's only 4 minutes. And Angelique told me up front, this is coming out of my sermon time. So enjoy it.
God's story, David and Goliath. So part of God's story is about the time David fought Goliath. And it begins like this. David was the youngest of 8 brothers. His job was being a shepherd, which meant he spent all day in a field watching sheep eat and roll around the grass. Meanwhile, some of his brothers were off with the Israeli army preparing for war against the Philistines. The Philistines were one of the toughest armies the people of Israel had to fight. So one day, David was taking food to his brothers because his dad asked him to. But when he got there, his brothers accused him of coming so he could watch the fight instead of the sheep. Since David knew in his heart he was just obeying his dad, he didn't mind being misunderstood. Anyway, while David was there, he saw a huge Philistine man, more than 9 feet tall, step onto the field between the two armies. He was wearing a thick helmet and armor and carrying huge weapons. His name was Goliath, and he was definitely used to being the winner. David found out that Goliath had been stepping onto the field like this every morning for the past 40 days and saying, "Give me a man and let us fight each other." But nobody from Israel was brave enough to fight him, even the king. Well, David didn't like that this giant was intimidating the Israelites. After all, they were God's special family. And because God was with the Israelites, they could have courage in any situation. So David, who wasn't even a soldier, told the king, "I'll fight against him." Now, the king thought David was too small, but he really wanted someone to fight Goliath. So he gave in. And David knew he wasn't strong enough to beat Goliath by himself, but he believed God would be with him. So he said, "The Lord will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." The king hoped David was right. He even had his own weapons and armor put on David, but they didn't fit him. David decided to go into battle in his regular clothes. That's how sure he was that God would help him. Anyway, David went to a nearby stream and chose 5 smooth stones to use with his slingshot. Then he walked onto the battlefield to meet the massive Goliath. When Goliath saw how wimpy David looked, he was furious. He thought he'd get to fight the Israelites' strongest warrior. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." David might have looked like a wimp, but he was actually really brave. In fact, he was so brave that when he was taking care of sheep, he fought off bears and lions. Because God helped him protect his sheep, David knew God would help him protect this special family. David said, "You come at me with a sword, but I come at you with the name of the Lord Almighty." He was explaining to Goliath that God was more powerful than anything. He also added that he would feed Goliath's flesh to the birds, which made the giant even more mad. Then David took a stone, put it in the slingshot, and slung it at Goliath.
Goliath didn't even get a chance to swing a sword because the stone hit him right in the forehead and sunk in deep. He face-planted straight into the ground. Nobody could believe it. And when the Philistine army realized Goliath was dead, they started running away like a bunch of scaredy cats. The Israelites chased the Philistines, shouting loudly. They had won. God used David, who was just an average kid, to rescue his people. And that's the story of David and Goliath.
Such a beautiful story, and it brings so much nostalgia up in my life about how I grew up and how things changed in my life, the giants that I had to fight. And we were having quite a special conversation earlier this week with someone about just the psychological tips that God gives us in the Bible, how to cope against our own giants. So today, I want to use this Goliath story as a specific symbol of the issues and triggers and problems that we have during our entire life, and how do we actually conquer these things. So I want to talk about Goliath, and I'm going to use the symbol of a tree alongside Goliath for a specific reason, and this you'll see at the end. And this tree represents the issues and problems and struggles we have in our lives, this Goliath tree. We'll be talking about David, his identity, and the fact that he won everything over. He became a king. He was his authentic self, and the reason for this, and how do we get back to the place where we can be our authentic selves, how God intended us to become. Because standing here today, so many things happened in my life which veered me off the path of being authentic, how God planned for it to be. We'll be talking about the lion, and we'll be talking about the five rocks. So I first of all want to bring up a slide about stats. This is the boring part, and then we're done with it. But you can see from the year 2000, life became quite difficult for us. There's so much pressures, so much things happening. We are so much more aware of what's happening in the world. We can see depression, anxiety, and the suicide rate absolutely soaring. A scary figure, because we are so much more aware of what's going on in the world. So many new things are presented to us every day, which just adds another fear, which just adds more anxiety. And we have to manage all of this. We have to manage all these giants in our life. We are not doing well emotionally or mentally. So the focus today is, how can we help ourselves? A self-help course. So a well-known psychologist, Groom, she talks about three pillars that we as humans need to function. From the day that you are born, and this is, so we'll be focusing a bit on our childhood, but from the day that you are born, there's three needs that you cannot live without. If you do not get these three needs, you will fall into anxiety and a fear of living, and am I allowed to be here? And that is love, acceptance, and security. Our core as humans are these three things. From childbirth, this is what you need. Should you not get these three things at any moment, and I'll tell you later on how easily you cannot experience this, should you not experience love, acceptance, security in your home, you feel rejection. The result of those three things is rejection. And this rejection, with our tree that's coming up, will be the seed of all our struggles. So, how does it work? You'll see a slide on the screen about a mother with the heart and the baby and the umbilical cord. For me, this picture represents so much of what God intended for us. If you think about the mother's womb is probably the safest place for this baby. It receives consistent love, acceptance, security. It only knows those three things. This umbilical cord, this lifeline to the mother, the security of having this umbilical cord feed and growing this baby, This is where everything starts for us. And then you are your authentic self, the way God planned for you to be in this moment, flawless, without anything, without any issues, without any problems. And then you get to see the opening of the world. You are born. Now, for those who are parents here, and for those fathers who have seen it firsthand, like me, it's a shock. The mothers, you know, you sort of there, we're there. So the trauma. Remember, I'm not a doctor. I'm but a eyesighted theology. I don't know stuff like that. The things that came out. But you stand there, and all of a sudden, this baby comes out, your child. Now, look, I mean, then it screams and crying, and for me, that was normal because I cried. The screams of the baby came second. But it's this traumatic moment. This baby just sees, first of all, this man with a mask, and I mean, it's experiencing all this light, and it's, you know, he's been manhandled, and the umbilical cord is cut off. His lifeline, his love, acceptance, security is cut off. And as a father, I stand there and I see this happening. And I realize that something extremely important is happening. This child is exposed. He doesn't have that womb anymore. I need to get a grip here. But something beautiful happens then. They take that baby while it's crying to the mother and put it on her chest. Skin on skin, they call it. And for a moment, this baby feels that love, that acceptance, that security. And the fight and the struggle starts from this moment. That need to receive these three things becomes our most important fight in life. Because if we don't get that, we receive rejection. And that rejection is the seed. And you'll see on the next slide coming up the heart with the seed and the roots. This rejection that starts growing you, sort of grows into this ground. And I see these roots as a Goliath standing there with this armor, which weighed, by the way, 60 kilograms, which is a little bit less than I am. If you take this part out, 60 kilograms. But the weight that he carried around, nobody could just push him over. So these roots that grows in, that settles in your heart, in your life about rejection. You are not worthy. You are not good enough to receive love, acceptance, and security. You are not worth it. This lie starts spreading. I want to tell you about how easily this happens. We think that major stuff needs to happen. We think that you need to become an orphan before some rejection like this starts. No. I'll tell you a story about my own son. And I love my children. I have moved from South Africa all the way here to give them a better life. My wife and my life is about our children. How can we make it easier for them? How can we provide them a life that's worth living? So Father's Day, last week we had a fantastic day. This is very recent, but this happened a few times now. And I've got two boys, and great day. We had fun, we laughed, it was all great. And later that evening, I spent time with both of them. Later that evening, I had to cut Joshua's hair, my oldest son's hair, because he was starting to look like a small lion. And Liam ran away. He's in the room crying. And being difficult. And I went to him and I sat on the bed. I'm like, but what's going on? He says, but you don't love me. I'm like, what went wrong? How can you say this? Of course I love you. Yeah, but, and I said, tell me, why are you feeling this? Why don't you feel that I love you? And he said, but you didn't cut my hair. And I promise you, this was a serious conversation. For him, this was this gigantic Goliath of an issue because my father doesn't love me. And this has happened a few times because if I spend 2 seconds longer with Joshua than with Liam or vice versa, you don't love me. It's over. And do you know the seriousness of this conversation for me? I realized at that moment the seed of rejection. I'm not worthy enough for you to cut my hair. This is how easily a lie gets planted. We are working with an enemy that does not want us to have these three things. Everything in our lives, everything that you are working on to have these three things, he does not want that for you. It starts as small as that. If you look at the next picture, you'll see this tree eventually grows into this gigantic Goliath of a tree. And all of a sudden, it's there. We can barely function. And you'll soon realize that these things are common things that's in our lives. I want to tell you about what the problem is with this tree and how we grow these trees in our lives. It's all very subtle, and we don't even realize it. And this is where I want to bring the lion in. I read a story in a book about a lady that got herself a small tiger. I know it's not a lion, but let's call it a tiger. She got herself a small tiger as a pet. She named it probably a very pretty name, and this small thing was her love of her life. She played with it. It was fantastic. Eventually, it grew into this big tiger, which killed her at the end. You might think, but why? It's her pet. How is this possible? There's two things that happened here. The first thing was that this sort of small, harmless thing grew into this tiger, and it's designed to hunt, to kill. And the problem with this is we introduce things in our lives without realizing that it's hurting us. We introduce things in our lives not realizing this is growing into a tree of issues. We are barely coping with things. And all of a sudden, we see this tree with this gigantic giant standing behind it, and it's taunting you every day of your life. Now, what does this mean? All of these branches of this tree has got a name. So if we look back just for a second again with Goliath, he was taunting the soldiers, saying, you're not good enough. You're not worthy of having any of these three things, love, acceptance, security. You're not worthy. So you start doing things in order to get this. If I can go back one step with Liam, what I realized with Liam, and when we read this in the psychology books, is that the moment he wants acceptance from me, he'll start losing his authenticity by example. He knows that I like him, you know, for them to pack out the dishwasher. It's easy. So, but 99.9% of the times, we have to ask them to do this. So every now and then, when things are sort of struggling, I'll find him standing in the kitchen, packing out by his own. And I'll walk up to him and say, thank you, Liam. I'm so proud of you. And then he lights up. And this is what happens in our lives. We start losing our authenticity. We do things to get this acceptance, this security, this love, and this grows into these branches. And you'll see on the next picture that's coming up, there's a list of things. And if you have if you listen to this, you'll read some of those words on there. I want to read you some of this. And if you read some of this, you know that there's some compromise somewhere in your life. Fear, anger, restlessness, perfectionism, guilt, shame, denial, relationships based on rules, taking offense, anxiety. These are all things happening. And every now and then, Goliath will come and jump on one of these branches and he'll taunt you. Things will happen in your life and you will feel guilt. Maybe you're struggling with pornography and you'll feel that guilt and shame come up. Maybe you're so perfectionistic in your life that it all pushes away relationship. Do you realize that all of this that I just said has a major impact on relationships? It keeps you away from relationships. It impacts relationships. And I love my father, I love my mother, but my father was a perfectionist and we struggled through our relationship because everything had to be precise. All of these symptoms, this branches, stops you from receiving love, acceptance, and security. Now, what happens with us is we'll realize, oof, I've got a problem. I've got a branch hanging here, and it is a problem in my life. And what we do is we take a chainsaw and we cut this branch off. But what happens with a branch? It grows back with more branches. And this all adds. Have you ever felt, and I felt it for sure, have you ever felt that things are just getting too much? I cannot cope. I'm not coming through things. And this is because we're cutting off branches and things are just growing back. We're not getting back to the root. We're trying to find our identity, our authentic self, but we cannot because Goliath keeps on taunting us. You're not worthy of this. You're not worthy to receive all of this. We need to rip him out by the roots. If you see the next slide, you'll see this heart with this baby and this eternal flame with the umbilical cord, which represents God in our lives. What we learn from David, and I want to stand still with David now for a moment here. We see David in this brilliant life of his, this fantastic story. And I believe truly that his authentic self and his identity was absolutely right in the center of God. He did everything he did with God. I mean, going to war, 40 days later, everybody's got armor on, going like this. With five rocks and with absolute security of knowing that God is going to have your back. Why? Because you've seen it so many times that God has not dropped him once with a bear, with a lion, with his life. His only source, and if you see this picture, his only source, that umbilical cord, that flame, has been God. And I will say today that I say this and I love, once again, this is not a blame game. This is not to say my parents is this and this. No, I'm also a parent. I know how this works. Every single person here tries their best. And because we have this gigantic tree in our lives, we're struggling through this. We're struggling through doing relationship properly. We're struggling to give love, acceptance, and security to our families, to our children, to our wives, to our friends. The only way that we can do this is to find it from God. God is that trust fall, that pit, that endless pit of love, acceptance, security. What we receive from our friends, our family, our children, our mothers, our fathers is an extra. It's a bonus. We cannot rely only on that. We need to rely on God. And this is where David plays such a beautiful role. And he trusted God so much. What he did was he went through, and this is how he did this. He went through deep worship and devotion with God. He repented. He had a deep faith of trusting God. He had humility. He was seeking God's guidance. He had a covenant relationship closed with God. And he always sought his guidance in everything he did. This takes time for us to heal ourselves and rip up this tree. And I'll give you some steps now, but we need to rely on God. We'll take our umbilical cords and attach it to God alone. Human love is an extra bonus. I'm pushing for the authentic self Because do you realize that if you defeat your Goliath, if you find your authentic self and you come free of this, you're a walking testimony of God's love, acceptance, and security. That's how deep and beautiful this is. You'll see a picture coming up of the five rocks, and I want to move to the five rocks. And it's so unique. He went out to the water and he looked for five unique rocks. He only needed one. He didn't know that, but he had a backup plan, right? I don't know what was his reload speed on that thing, but he had five rocks. So here are the five steps. Take note of it. Take it down. Take a picture. But this is the way out into having a life of authenticity and realness and having your identity in Christ. The first one is to be open and susceptible to God. And this is linked to James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will stop taunting you like the giant. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. First step, be open. I'm here. I've got baggage. I've got defenses on. I'm closed up. First step, I'm here. I want to be open to you. Second, grieve over your own losses. And this is the difficult part. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is a promise from God. That endless pit of love, acceptance, security, he will not leave you. But second step, you need to stop for a moment and look back at your life. Accept the fact that you were at losses, that you did not always receive love, acceptance, and security. Grieve over that. Three, the third rock, receiving grace. Ephesians 2, 8. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For the grace of God, in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Grace is there for everybody. No matter what you have done, no matter how many branches you have, no matter how big your tree is, there's grace. Accept the grace. Be open to the grace. The fourth rock, giving over to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He will not forsake you. Everyone around us in humanity will at some point forsake us or hurt us or just not be able to give what we need. God will never forsake you. John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And this list of verses goes on. And the last one is to having a mutual relationship with God. John 15, 5. I am the vine, and this is why I use the tree as the symbolic. Listen to this so clearly. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can you see that the reverse is taking place? That now, currently, we have these branches, the symptoms, this hurt. It needs to be turned around. We need to become the branches. And the fruit that comes from that, love, patience, acceptance, and so on. It all needs to be turned around. God needs to take out this old, ugly seed, this root, and need to be replaced by him, grow into a new tree, and you become the branch. Jeremiah 29:12, last verse. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This morning I want to take a moment based on this verse. And I'm going to ask Natini and the team to come up. I want to take a few seconds and ask you to take this first step this morning. Because I know there's some part of my tree, some symptoms that I'm doing that I need to take out the root. And I pray that you would pray with me this prayer this morning to take this first step. Father, we are at a loss. We are searching for our identity, for our authenticity, and it lies only by you. We need you. Father, for many sitting here, it may be their first time taking this step. I'm going to pray. Pray with me. Father, I stand before you and I ask you today to take my life. I'm taking the first step and I want to be susceptible and open to who you are. I pray that you will guide me, teach me, show me how I need to have this relationship with you in order to find my love, acceptance, and security that will be endless. Will you take my life? Will you take my heart? Will you take my soul now in the name of Jesus? As I take this first step towards finding my authentic self, building my identity into who you are, so that I can defeat my giants in my life. I pray that you would take this root, this gigantic tree out of my life in the name of Jesus. I trust in you. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.